Okay.
Good afternoon. Fran Butterfoss, and I did not follow directions and include my self-disclosure slide. So I will tell you that I do not have any relationships to discuss today. And the title of this talk is Looking at Strategic Planning for Diabetes that speaks to the coalition and the community, and I think you'll see this thread run through the presentation. My fellow consultant, Patty Kiger, both of us represented Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, Virginia, and we were actually hired in this process as consultants by Ann Forberger from the Virginia Department of Health to help the Virginia Diabetes Coalition, chaired by Kathleen Gold, to develop a revision of the state diabetes plan that they developed in 1998. And I'm emphasizing this, and I'll let you know why here. I think most of you know why you get involved in planning at the state level. Many of you receive funding probably from organizations like the CDC. One of the things that really struck me in the courses of this evaluation was how powerful this process was in getting to the last bullet there. It really did help us develop a regional involvement and participation that the council had not had before. So I want to highlight that as we go through. The Virginia Diabetes Council was originally convened as a task force in 1996 to develop the first statewide plan in 1998. So they did that, they published it, and then a year later created the Virginia Diabetes Council, whose job was to implement that first plan over the course of 6 to 8 years. And then in 2006, they obtained 501c3 status as a nonprofit organization. And of course, 2008, the jig was up. It was time to revamp the plan. So we were hired to help them do that and agreed to do it before we really studied the plan a whole lot. And once we did, we realized why this council was having some difficulty, because the plan was focused, even though it was very long, it was focused almost entirely in education. So as we began to read through this plan, and I'll talk a little bit about the rest of the process, we read through it and we started looking, since myself and my colleague, Ms. Kiger, really were not diabetes experts. My expertise is in the area of coalition building, building partnerships and coalitions for a number of health issues. I knew that I really needed to get some good ideas of what else was out there. And it became very apparent in that first review that we had a very long way to go, and that in fact our first recommendation to the council was that we basically start over with a brand new plan. They were in agreement, they were frustrated where they had been, and the group that was convened was not the group that wrote the original plan, so there wasn't a tremendous amount of investment. But anyway, the executive committee was the group that we worked with, which was made up of the chair and co-chair of the coalition, and representatives from each of the task groups, as well as representatives from the American Diabetes Association and the Virginia Department of Health. So we looked at the other plans. There's a tool that I helped develop with a colleague from CDC called the State Plan Index. We actually used that index to rate the plan to see where it was weak, where it was strong, and that gave us a basis for moving forward. What the group said was they wanted a plan that was catchy, was clear, was short, was graphically pleasing, that had some kind of basis in public health in its whole comprehensiveness. So we focused on the 10 essential public health services. We actually focused on 8 of those in this plan, but that was our guiding framework throughout it. The benefit, I think, of the outside consultants is we really didn't have an investment in the old plan. We could be very non-biased. We didn't know the partners. It ended up that really they were able to be very frank with us about what they liked about the plan and what they liked or didn't like about the coalition. So I think we could be that non-biased party in this process. We could see the gaps in both the committee's work and in the plan, and really help strengthen the coalition itself or the council itself so that they actually could implement the plan that they developed. A whole list of some of the main organizations that were involved over the course of this, and you see the council down there is just one of many, and I'm sure many of these are groups that you all work with in your work in diabetes. The priority populations that we were trying to work with and affect by this plan were certainly people with diabetes and their caregivers, healthcare professionals, policymakers, and a number of high-risk groups that you see listed here. Virginia is an interesting state. Most people know Virginia for Washington, D.C. and the area around the Beltway, quite wealthy area of Virginia. There is quite a disparity there now because of a tremendous influx of populations from around the world. So many languages, not like California, but still quite a diverse area. And then in the southwest part of the state, we've got Appalachia, an area that has tremendous economic issues. And then on the eastern shore, we're back with the fishermen and poultry industry. So it's quite a diverse state, and we felt we needed to focus on all of those groups. We wanted to affect change in the health systems and work sites and in the communities, and obviously every area of the community. I'm a community-based person myself. But essentially, we described communities as places where people live, work, and play, and we wanted somehow to have an effect on all of those. So we went through a five-step process, and I'd love to say that in the beginning we had this all planned out and this is exactly how we were going to do it, but we didn't. We certainly had the first three steps, maybe the first four set out, and then added some in between, and I'll go through those right now. So the first thing we did, we knew we needed to engage people from around the state. The council had primarily been made up of members, like many state coalitions, from the Richmond, the capital area, the central part of the state, and we wanted to make sure we heard the voices from people around the state. So we convened groups that we called the Diabetes Dialogues, and it turned out it was a great name because the people that ended up showing up to these sessions really felt they could speak their mind and they could be very open. So we held seven of these in the seven main areas of the state, trying to catch those subpopulations. And they were facilitated by myself or Ms. Kiger, and then we had a diabetes educator, a certified diabetes educator in that region, be the person to help us convene the group because they knew the players, they knew their communities, and they could pull together and make sure we had sponsorship for these meetings. We had about 10 to 15 people at each of the dialogues for a total of 89 people, and they were wonderful and a great tool as it turned out for later recruitment. So we asked them these set of questions, which you would expect. What's your interest in diabetes? What makes your region special that we should know about? And then the next two were very interesting because overall we found out that just a little over half of the people even knew there was a plan, a state plan in place, and had been there for 10 years almost. And secondly, the interesting thing was only less than 40% even knew there was a state diabetes council. So it turned out the dialogues were a great way to advertise the fact that these resources existed in the state. We asked them about the value of planning, what part of the plan, we gave them an opportunity to look at the plan, what did you like, what don't you like, what would you change, how can VDC help you in your work, and what should they be doing as an organization. What we learned was that people were very happy to network and be involved in this planning process. They felt heard. We had a lot of we recorded the session and got a lot of great information from people. And the one thing we kept hearing from people was, I didn't know there were other people who felt like I felt. I didn't know that my concerns could really make a difference at the state level. And the other thing we learned is that we really could use these dialogues as a way to recruit new people to the coalition. And as of last month, they had 50 new members from the coalition who were 50 of the 89 who took part in these dialogues. So to me, that validated absolutely this was the great way to go. Second thing, we did some key informant interviews. We were very selective in these. We had a limited amount of funds. And we wanted to make sure we heard from people who represented organizations of influence in the state. So those who represented the research area, the academic and training area, the providers, the health plans, the business community, and so forth. And we did hold these as phone interviews. Had no problem getting folks to comply and did have those high-level folks who could tell us not only here's what I think and here were the set of questions we asked them, but here's how my organization could get involved. So it's, again, a way of getting their interest in this whole idea of planning and in executing the plan. and again, some of the same things we asked. The best question, I think, were number 4 and 5. If you could influence change, what 3 strategies would you implement, and how can you help us? So we could come back to them after they said, yes, I can help you in these ways. Now the council is going back. Remember when you said you could help us in these ways? It's time. Then finally we did a member survey, and this was really just a way to make sure we didn't miss anybody who wanted to have input. A lot of folks on the council had been part of the dialogues. They had attended them. They had an opportunity to see at least a draft of what things we were going to cover in the plan, at least our thoughts about it. But we wanted to make sure we had some input from them. So we heard, out of 40 people, heard from 10 of them on a anonymous survey, but got some very valuable information from there. And then what we did is put together the draft, and this again was very interactive with the executive committee, lots of hours of back and forth in person and on email, and put together this draft plan, which we then convened the whole council. We had about, I think, 50 people or so at that meeting, and in small groups went over bit by bit this whole plan. What do you like? What's missing? You know, are you listed correctly as an organization for being a resource in this area? And can you really help? Or have we misplaced it? Because obviously the plan was not done by each of them individually. And what do you really like about it? What should we prioritize here? And then lastly, we asked, in sitting down with them, is there anybody whose voice we may have missed here? And realized there were another 5 organizations that we didn't have enough input from to be able to see were they in the plan. So we sent the survey out to them and asked would they complete this online survey again, and they did. We had great response from them. So the plan ended up being, and I do have copies of the plan itself, the summary of the plan at the back table. It had 8 strategic initiatives, 22 goals, 68 objectives. It sounds like a lot, but some of them were very simple things that were easy to do short term. Some were long term things. And remember, this is a 10-year plan. We presented it to the whole coalition in the fall of 2007. They went back, did a little more tweaking of it as a coalition, and it was published in February of this year. They've begun to work on it. I think what I'm most excited about in this plan is that of these initiatives, the first one, their capacity building, what we realized we had to do if really this plan was ever going to get done was the council itself had to be strengthened. So similar to our first presenter here, we realized that the council needed to make some changes. So we built those in as goal number 1. And that's they've been working on that and actually revamped the entire council. They've had a major recruitment effort. It's really heartening to see that they did take these changes very seriously. And you can see these areas. And obviously, it's comprehensive. It covers all the things you'd want to cover in a chronic disease prevention initiative. So we had 130 partners involved over the course of time. It took us a year. And our final decision at the end of this, and everybody, even those who were a little skeptical, and we had some on the council, is that by providing this training, this technical assistance, teaching people about planning as they're planning and helping them look at what are the best practices, you basically have to teach them the tool of training. But the content is out there, and a lot of them had the content. They knew what was the right thing to do. And what people keep telling us over and over again is this is a plan that really reflects our state as a whole, which there was a good sense that this wasn't happening in the previous plan. So you can see it online if you'd like to and look at all the details of it. And I think that's it. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very, very much. That was not only a really good presentation for what it was. I learned a lot about the state of Virginia demographic from your map. And, you know, political junkies like me need to know these things in terms of the Virginia vote. You know, I feel like I've been pretending that Election Day isn't Tuesday the whole time that I'm here. Okay. Next presentation. Okay. This is our tag